The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions. And learn how to make your yard summer strong at bewatersmart.info.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. Let's go. Let's grow. Let's start the show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. So glad you could make it. Today's episode, we're digging right into the topic of seed starting with a garden legend, Dave Farrow. He's been on the podcast before. He's coming back to give me a little lesson about germinating seeds properly. He's gardening at a high level, so that he's a great, great guest this week. I'm your host, Kevin Jordan, and this is the Green Acres Garden Podcast. I'm back in studio and back from a trip from paradise. We got Austin Blank on audio. How's it going, Austin?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, I was gone for 2 weeks. I was in Mexico celebrating my brother's wedding. It was fantastic. I had a great time. Came back with a little bit of a tan. Do I look
darker? Good. You know, I'm not going to lie. Missed you, bro.
Oh, yeah, I know. I missed you too. I missed doing this show. So let's go ahead and dive right in and get after it. Get some garden knowledge. Like you said, we've got Dave Farrow, and he is a garden legend. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and jump straight into it.
Let's dig right in.
Yeah. All right. So we met up with him at the Green Acres in Roseville. Here we go.
Hey, Dave. How's it going? How you been?
I've been doing really good.
Well, I want to thank you for making time. It's really great to see you. We've been friends now for a year or two. We've got to meet you out in the nursery, and right away, I think I knew that you were a garden fanatic. And so I'm really happy that you made time with us today. This is actually perfect timing to have you on, because we're talking seed germination this week. I was hoping you could kind of run our listeners through maybe just like a crash course. I know you've been giving some really intriguing trainings and garden talks a little bit. Can you kind of talk about that? I know we can't plug you anymore because you are, it's all filled up and sold out, but how's your experience been with these classes and these talks?
Yeah, they're just getting started, but they're doing really well because so many people just want to do, you know, they want to garden. They want to grow. And, you know, and I just love the fact that people learn something and take it away. And when I get these text messages back with pictures of their tomato or whatever it is that they're growing that they've never been able to grow before, it makes my heart sing.
I love that.
It's just awesome.
That's awesome.
Just,
yeah, it's got to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Well, on those good vibes, let's push forward. Because I was, like I said, with that same thought and energy, I was hoping we could, like I said, do a little bit of a crash course this week. Yep. And just seed starting 101. It's a great topic because this is a perfect time of year for it. Personally, I've been starting seeds like a madman. We got the peppers going. We're going to be, you know, getting the tomatoes going right after that and so on. And so maybe you could kind of delve us in a little bit. Like, what do you think? What are the benefits? Why do we even use seed? What's the importance of, you know, starting from seed?
Well, it's... You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I just love the magic that happens when you start with this little seed and you grow it into something that then you have, you know, vegetable, fruit, whatever it is afterwards. There's something magical about starting from the seed. So that aside,
watching them break that soil.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome.
Pop, I mean, up to life.
You know, and when people do that on their own, you know, they have they can appreciate the work that Green Acres does and others do about raising the plants and those plants that you, starts that you get, you know, how, you know, what it took to get to that
journey.
Yeah, to get to that point that then I could put in my garden, right? So there's that. So that's the, you know, that's the magic side, but there's other things too. Just walk into the store and just look at the seed racks. Look at the different options the massive options of different seeds that you have available. Well, it would be very difficult for any grower, Green Acres or otherwise, to have all of those growing and available to you to try out, you know, out on the, you know, to purchase, right? So here, you can go get that one little variety of something, try something that just you never tried before and start it from seed. It's not a huge commitment. The cost is, you know, it's not very much.
Low barrier to entry, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and give it a shot. And it, you know, and a seed wants to grow if you just give it the opportunity. And that's what we'll talk about today.
Well, how do we do that? Where do we first start? Okay, let's say we go in. I'm thinking about starting a garden this summer. Yeah. Where do I start? How do I plan?
So I'm big on planning. I talk about that in all my courses, whether it's seed starting or whether it's square foot gardening or any other. Grow what you like and you think you're going to eat, if it's a vegetable, right? Because you're going to be a lot more successful with those things that your family is going to, you know, is going to say, yeah, I want to have that. So you're going to be motivated to grow that. So what you do is you should go look at, because with vegetables in all these areas, you're going to look at your frost dates. So you're going to go look at your, when is the time when it's safe to put that plant out and you have good odds that you're not going to get frosted killed, right? If you do it now, I can guarantee you almost for sure there's like an 80% chance you're going to have frost between now and the next couple of months.
And that's why we can't just sink our tomatoes in the ground right now.
Yeah, you're not going to just go put that in there right now because that's not a good thing. So what you do is you go look at that first frost-free date, and you can look at there's different ways, different places to go. National Gardening Association is a really good one. And master gardeners in their charts will give you some frost-free dates depending on your cities that you're in. But you got to realize that those dates are not 100%. So those dates are 80, 90% correct.
It's compared on previous years.
Yeah, it goes back like 20 years. So what you want to do is once we go through this whole process of seed starting and we get that plant, before we're going to put that plant outside in the cruel world, we should go look at the weather. What's going to happen in the next couple of weeks? We can look ahead and go, oh my gosh, a bad storm. Let's hold off a while.
You'll get these wonderful warm streaks really early on, and everyone's like wants to be first, and they just throw all their warm season crops in, and it's usually maybe it might be late March, early, you know, whatever, and everyone gets in there, and then it seems nice for a few days, and then boom, a nice spring storm comes in, maybe a little hail. I always kind of try to wait just a little bit longer, let that soil warm up a little bit.
Just watch, you know, just look at the weather and pay attention to that. Nothing's perfect, but, you know, that's an important thing to look at.
Dave, what are your feelings, thoughts, and emotions on planting calendars? Mm-hmm. Do you utilize them? Would you suggest them as a tool for someone getting into this? You talk about the frost dates. Yeah. A lot of the time, those planting calendars, I mean, they're kind of synced up with weather in a way as well.
So like the Green Acres has a planting calendar. So it lists in there what date it's recommended, like to start your tomato seed. And usually, like tomatoes, 6 or 8 weeks before you're going to put it out.
Start it indoors or a sheltered area.
So you get to that frost-free date, and then you go backwards 6 or 8 weeks, and you say, okay, that's where I'm going to sow my tomatoes, right? And those calendars are designed around that. However, those calendars give a range of dates. So there's over a number of weeks. So what you want to look at is your microclimate. Because like where I am, I have a bowl. I have a colder. I'm a lot colder.
Cold air just kind of settles where you're at.
In my little spot, I'm like 2 weeks or so colder than any calendar, anything around me, and I know that. So you got to start learning your microclimate. So you need to look at that. But you know, that just comes with experience. It's a learning process. You know, next year, You know, pay attention for the future years.
That's great advice.
It's a good thing.
Now we're getting down to it. Let's say we've got our calendar. We've got a general idea of when and we should start these seeds. But how should we start these seeds? What are the methods to success? Some of our listeners are very skilled growers, and some people might just be loving plants and kind of just want to just try it out. What would you say to these people? How do we get these seeds started, you know, healthfully, successfully?
So we didn't say this, but we're going to focus on indoor seed starting versus direct sowing out in the field, right?
Absolutely.
So indoor prepping ahead of time, then putting them out, right? But first thing you got to do is gather your supplies. So you need some basic stuff. You need soil, and
will any soil do?
No, and that's the thing. Don't go out in your beautiful compost or garden soil and bring it inside and slap it in a pot and put your seed in there, because usually you're going to bring in things like gnats and other nasties, okay, in there as well. Now, I highly recommend using a soilless mix. And what a soilless mix is, it's designed to really just hold moisture. Remember, a seed has everything it needs to germinate and grow, to get to the first few sets of leaves. It doesn't need fertilizer. All it needs is an environment for the root structure to go for it to start properly. And that's what a soilless mix does. So I would recommend, like a lot of the off-the-shelf soilless mixes are peat moss, vermiculite, perlite combination. Usually I use one that either I mix up or a lot of ones that I purchase are 811. So it's 8 parts peat moss, 1 part vermiculite, 1 part perlite. And it's a nice, it holds moisture, but also allows moisture to run through. So it's best of both worlds.
Pretty fine grained too, yeah. Not big chunks and heavy pieces in there like you'd find in maybe some of our potting mixes.
Very good point. Yeah, you don't want to just use off-the-shelf potting mix because it'll have chunky stuff, like you said. So yeah, you put that in. So that's the soil that you'll want to use. I recommend staying away from 100% coir because I've had problems with
coconut coir.
Coconut coir.
I just like saying the word coir.
Coir. Yeah. Don't make me say it.
I know. I'm glad you said it first.
I know. I'll be bad. It somehow affects tomatoes, especially. And I think it's the salt that somehow stays there no matter how much you drain. And others have the same problem. So I'd stay away from that for in general. If it's got a little coir in there, it's fine, but not stay away from the main 100% coir mixes. Maybe we should walk through the steps.
Please.
We got our seeds.
We're ready to rock.
You know,
we got our materials.
You got our materials. So we get our pots, we fill them with soil, and I like to use kind of dry, not very moist soil. I like to fill the pots with pretty much dry soil. Then what I do after I do that is I'll just lightly spray the surface, and I'll let the water seep in, and once the water gets all the way through it, then I stop. It's fine. But I don't pre-moisten it. I feel like the soil is just too dense if I pre-moisten it and blob it into the thing. You can, but I prefer doing it this way.
I kind of do a little bit of both.
You do?
I do a very light pre-moistening, just enough to kind of keep the dust down and to let it kind of adhere to itself a little bit. But I think you're right. It's like if you go too far, then you're kind of pushing out the air in the mix. But we'll do a very light pre-moistening that allows it to settle in, and then we do the same thing that you do. Then we give it a light watering to kind of settle the soil just a little bit, and then we're off and running. Because I notice if we plant into super dry soil mix,
no, you can't.
It's what are you doing? It's like then you water it, and the soil, the seeds flying around. And
most of these soil mixes, by the way, we didn't talk about it, but these soil mixes have something in them. It's just an organic soap, actually, that allows the water to hydrate.
The wetting agents.
It's
like yucca or something,
it's yucca.
Right?
Yeah. I use yucca for mine because of, you know, and it's actually a soap, and it, you know, and it.
I thought you smelled good.
Yeah, right. So then what I do is I put a little dimple in the soil surface. I'll use either another pot of the same size. I just sort of touch it, or just my finger or something, or a dibbler or something. Just a little bit. What I'll do is take a look at your seed packets, and if you look in the almost every seed packet I've seen, like these on Botanical Interests on Cherokee Purple, for
instance. My favorite tomato, by the way.
It's a good choice. It says seed depth 1/4 inch. So there you go. You just go there and you look at your seed packet and you go, okay, I'm going to do that 1/4 inch. Look at the lettuce seed. Lettuce seed says surface to 1/8 inch. So you put, because lettuce seed uses light to tends to germinate. So they need light. So you use that. So follow your seed packet to decide how deep a hole you're going to plant your seed.
I've noticed too, it seems like the larger, like the physical size of the seed, the larger it is, the deeper it tends to be planted, and the smaller the seeds oftentimes are a little bit closer to the surface.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's typically how people say you double the size of the seed to go in. But see, that doesn't necessarily hold with like lettuce because
it's kind of a longer seed.
It needs to be at the surface, more like a surface and or lightly covered, and it'll germinate right there with the light. So what you do once you've got the seed there in that little hole, you either dust it with more of your your seed starting mix, or what I do is I use horticulture grade vermiculite. I use Green Acres has it too. It's a fine vermiculite, and I cover the seed with that
to whatever depth it was required.
Yeah.
And well, that's how the nurseries do it. I've seen it happen firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use the nice seed germination mix. Actually, then a dibble that's like on like a rolling pin essentially puts a perfect little dimple in there. Seeds get dropped in, one per hole, and then they get dusted with just a little bit of vermiculite and then irrigated, and then off they're off and running.
Vermiculite's really cool because vermiculite holds moisture and yet is real lightweight. You know, and it keeps things. I think it also helps against things like fungus gnats and things as well. So I like that. I like it because of that. So once you've done put that covered the seed, now you mist it, and you got to be careful with how you do it. Now I actually use a little mister you can get here. It's called Foggit, really fine spray. You put it into your hose and a hose controller, and it just mists.
Nice,
just,
even application, gentle.
It's fantastic. Doesn't wash anything out. I highly recommend it. Or if you're just going to use the other device of some sort, just be careful, because so many times people just, you know, seed ends up from one pot into the next. It just washed out. After you've got the seed set in there and watered in, now you got to put the humidity dome in and on, or use a saran wrap. You're going to see humidity come up and collect on the dome.
Condensation on the inside is cool to see.
Thank you. And you just don't touch it. Just leave it alone.
It's doing its thing.
Leave it alone. Don't add water. Do nothing. Leave it alone, because it doesn't need anything else at that point. It's got everything it needs, and you just let the seeds germinate. Once they start to germinate.
Well, you brought up the heat map.
Yeah.
Really quick. Can you tell us a little bit why are we using a heat mat? Do all seeds need to be started on a heat mat? What's the purpose?
Yeah, that's a good point. If you warm types of plants like tomatoes and peppers, they want warmth before their seeds will start. They want something 75 to 80 degrees, or, you know, 75, you know, is a good one temperature.
For everybody.
For everybody. It's a good temperature for seeds to start. And so if you got this in a cold garage, they're just going to sit there. They're not going to do anything. They're going to wait, because they're thinking they're outside in a cruel environment and they're waiting for the right temperature to germinate. So you want to trick them. You want to tell them it's summer, it's spring, okay? Time to germinate. So So you that's what you do with the temperature. Now, you don't have to use fancy heat mats. You could use, a heat mat that's used for your body to keep, that you have sore muscles or something.
Like electric blankets.
I've seen Yikes. People do all sorts of things. But, you might have a laundry room that's warmer than other places or something.
A little greenhouse in the backyard.
You gotta watch greenhouses. Unless they're heated, they're gonna get to the outside temperature. They're not gonna work as so well. So you want if anything, if you're inside the house temperature in the wintertime is in the low 70s, because that's the way you keep it, you maybe not need a heat mat. You just have it there in where
just
your temperature is
indoors,
and you could be okay. It may take mine might germinate faster because I got the temperature up a little higher. But it's okay. It'll germinate and they'll grow just fine. Once you've got your seeds there on the heat mat, you might as well just go ahead and put them under lights now, in anticipation. Because generally, what happens is you're not paying attention.
They sprout and it's dark.
They sprout and it's dark, and you're like, oh, and they get leggy.
So
start with the lights right from the get-go, and that way, when you're, in case you forgot for a couple of days, it's amazing how fast a seed will grow up once it's germinated. It's looking for light immediately.
It needs it.
So give it light. Now, how do you give it light? That's always, people think that they could just put this in a south-facing window and life is good. You just don't get enough light. You don't get enough hours of light.
In the typical indoor setting.
Typical indoor setting on a windowsill facing south. You don't get enough light. You will immediately see the plants bending over, growing leggy, and heading toward the light, trying to get more light. So you really need some form of additional light. It could be inexpensive lights that that garage lights, any kind of fluorescent lights you have. Does not have to be fancy grow lights. Grow lights are for if you want to grow something out to the point where it's going to produce fruit or veg indoors under the light. You're just trying to get the plant to a level that you can transplant it out. So just standard white light, daylight kinds of bulbs of some sort, fluorescent, LED, whatever, is quite satisfying.
There's a lot of options out there.
A lot of options.
So Dave, now we're at the point that we've got a germinated seed, it's sprouted, it's warm in its soil, we've got access to light and moisture. What are we looking towards? How can we actually get this little seedling safely out to the garden when the time is right and get it planted? What are the considerations?
So now what do you do? Well, you don't just go from that beautiful, warm, cozy inside weather and just cast them out into your cruel garden and, and deal with the elements directly, right? You need to get them acclimated to that environment. So you need to harden off, it's called hardening off the seedlings. So slowly get them used to sunlight, because your indoor lights, no matter what they are, is probably only about 10% of what real sunlight is.
I love it. I think anyone who's like kind of into gardening or growing, you gotta start with your seeds. Start.
Well, like I said, it's magic.
Simply, yeah,
starting
absolutely.
From seed and growing to a big ripe tomato, there's magic there, and that's love to see it.
Well, Dave, I loved it. This was super fun talking seeds, talking plants. I will hopefully be out and visit you this spring. I'd love to see your garden in full bloom. But thank you so much for making time. I really appreciate it.
It's been fun, as always is.
All right, that was our interview with the one and only Dave Ferriero. Kevin, I want to go to you now. It was great to see Dave again, and wondering what your thoughts are on all of this seed talk. So what do you think?
Ultimately, it's these three things that all the techniques that he talked about, these addresses these three main factors for germinating seeds appropriately. So listen up, everybody.
Okay, what are these three
things? These are the three main things for germinating seeds. water, air, and temperature.
Okay.
If you keep those things at the proper balance, what the seeds need, they will germinate. If you pull any one of those pieces out of the puzzle, the seeds will usually remain dormant and not grow, or they'll sprout and not be healthy. So for instance, air, that soil mix he brought up, using a seed starter mix that doesn't have big chunks, it's will absorb some moisture but also hold a bit of air, and it's loose, it's light. That allows air to kind of be in the soil. When you overwater your soil, that's what's actually going to push out oxygen out of your soil. So when we say evenly, keep that soil evenly moist, that's going to ensure that you don't do that. Temperature. Some seeds can germinate in really cool temps, like we're growing right now outdoors, all of our cool season crops. They don't mind that, those cooler temps. But some of our plants, like we talked about in the interview, the peppers, the tomatoes, all the warm season stuff, they're really going to have to be fooled into thinking it's springtime. And so using that heat mat, using the right soil mix, and just keeping your soil evenly moist through the whole process, that's what's really going to kind of provide the most success for most people, is keeping those three things in mind. Not blasting your water with a hose, using a method, whether it's a rain nozzle, foggers like he had, or doing the subsurface watering, whatever method you do, you'll find it. Gardeners are really creative and they're really unique in their own ways. And everybody solves problems differently. So there's so many different ways that you can kind of solve these problems of, germinating these seeds. Talked about keeping that humidity dome, or, saran wrapping those. It's like there's so many different methods you can utilize, but they all are concern those three factors: proper amount of oxygen in the soil, proper temperature being exposed to the seeds, and water. They need water. If they dry out at any time in that process, they're going to have troubles. So if you keep those things in mind, you're going to have a lot of success. And I also liked how he talked about, providing light, and, some people will sprout the seed, but then it starts struggling for light. So, there's so many different methods for setting up little grow operations, seed starting areas, in your garage or inside your home somewhere on a patio. Lot of different creative people out there. You can see, hours and hours of videos online and different demonstrations. Make whatever works for you. And oftentimes providing that light early on, a proper amount, that's what's really going to be key to having that seed going from a simple little sprout with a couple little cotyledons sticking out to being a flourishing little seedling. So a proper amount of light, that's what's really going to help as well once they germinate. Repot them in some nice potting mix. That's when it's time to add, a gentle amount of fertilizer. Notice he didn't talk about, feeding the seedlings when they're tiny.
Because they have everything they need,
do, yeah. So there's no need to go wild with overfeeding. It's really not until you really upgrade them into a much larger container from that initial cell. And even then, it's very light doses. Because eventually they will go outside and they will get access to good, hopefully good nutritional soil that we have out in our gardens, because mm-hmm. we're adding compost and mulch and all the other good things we always talk about. And I liked the idea of hardening off. If you're growing somewhere where they're very sheltered, they're highly protected, and you're going to go out somewhere where it's really bright and sunny, or the weather might be,
shocked.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So take them outside, put them somewhere that's protected and sheltered for a day or two. You're going to have great results.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin, for circling back over those points. You take the fear factor out of it for me, make me feel like I can do this.
It's easy.
Yeah. I've done it before. Now, because of your guidance last year, I did this. I'm looking forward to doing it this year. And I want to thank Dave actually again, because he hooked me up with some seeds.
He did. Yeah. Me as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait to grow them.
So I'm going to give that a shot, and then we'll let him know how that goes. And I just want to wish everyone the best of luck out there if you're starting some plants by seed right now. And that's all for this week. Kevin, go ahead and take us out.
Well, another awesome week. Thank you so much, Dave Farrow, for coming in. Thank you to our listeners for being here. Seeds are awesome, and they're really easy to grow. It offers you a huge variety of options, and they're super cheap when compared to other options of growing. So if you like those things like I do, they're definitely worth a look. Until next week, garden friends, I got to get back to work. Time to harvest and grow. I wish you all a fantastic week. We'll see you back here next week for a banger of an episode. We've got an amazing guest. I will not ruin the surprise, but it's going to be colorful next week. So I cannot wait. Until then, garden friends, happy gardening to you all. And please, never stop growing.